Morning. We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting April 3rd, 2012 to order. First thing, approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, and good morning. Today on the agenda, we can strike executive session and possible action on executive session.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Approval of minutes.
Sorry, we'll have them all for you.
Not a problem. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President. There are three items. The first is from Calvary Cafe and Community Closet, a ministry of Calvary United Methodist Church. To members of Sussex County Council, on behalf of the many volunteers of Calvary Cafe and Community Clothing Closet, I would like to thank Councilwoman Deaver and Councilman Wilson for the monetary support towards a $500 grant from Sussex County Council. We appreciate the ongoing support of the Council, and your grant will greatly help our feeding ministry in the summer school supply giveaway. And that was signed by Sarah Russell. The next letter is the Cape Crusader Basketball Club. Dear Mr. Vincent, on behalf of the Cape Crusader Basketball Club, please allow me to extend our gratitude for your very generous donation to our organization, that we will use every penny of your donation to advance our mission of using the game of basketball to reach young people from all parts of Sussex County. And that was signed by Thomas A. Peterson. And the next is from the Southern Delaware Tourism. Dear Sussex County Council, thank you for letting Southern Delaware Tourism present our newest culinary tourism initiative, Local on the Menu, at your March 20th council meeting. Your support is invaluable to us as we continue with our efforts to bring visitors to Sussex County. And that is signed by Scott Thomas, the Southern Delaware Tourism Executive Director. And that is all, Mr. President.
Anybody from council have any correspondence? Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you. First item is Aging Advisory Committee Strategic Plan Presentation. And Ms. Sally Beaumont from the Aging Committee is here to present to council today.
Morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Mr. Lawson, for inviting us to come.
Thank you.
The Sussex County Advisory Committee, which is your committee, doing hopefully what you'd like us to do in the community, as a liaison to seniors and adults with physical disabilities. It's a whole bunch of papers I gave you, and we've been very busy the last year. My name is Sally Beaumont. Anna Short is also on the committee. There are 11 members of our committee. If you want to look at the plan real quick. And we have two members from each of your councilmatic areas. The two folks were appointed. Now, the bylaws say that a person is appointed by you and will remain in that position until the time when he or she does not serve any longer, or if you wish, would like to replace that person. So I think that I'm urging everybody to, in this packet it talks about who the people are on our committee, the next page, I believe, and hoping that you would be able to get to know these individuals more, because some of you didn't appoint them. They came with your appointments or with your positions. We had met last March. I took office and I met with Mr. Vincent, Mr. Guy, and Mr. Baker, at which time we discussed the mission and the vision of the committee. And we decided together that would be some of the ideas we had were really, really good and well thought out. And we decided to do and urge to do a plan for the next couple of years. And I want to just get Anna up here to help me a little bit with that, because she was the leadership behind putting this together. And I'll just let you take over.
Okay, good morning.
Morning.
Just to let you know a little history about what we've done, we began working on the plan in May of 2011. With our intention being to develop a focused approach to effectively fulfill our mission. Our mission is to increase dialogue, make recommendations to the Sussex County Council, and to give support, assistance, and advice on significant issues and programs that may affect the lives of the county's aging and adults with physical disabilities populations. Because this was our first attempt at strategic planning, we wanted to keep it simple. My recommendation to the group was to keep it to 2 to 3 goals within a 2 to 3 year timeline, because I felt that it was very important for everyone involved that we be successful on our first attempt. The goals developed were SMART goals. If you're familiar with the terminology, it means they were specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and relevant, timely and trackable. The first goal that we developed was to develop a profile of present and projected 5 and 10 year needs for the elderly and disabled populations in Sussex County by review of the research available. And you do have that in the packet that Sally's provided. This goal was accomplished in our March 2012 meeting. I'm going to skip goal number 2 for the moment and talk about goal number 3, which was to develop, maintain, and strengthen effective two-way communication throughout the county between the elderly and disabled service consumers, service providers, and county officials. We've developed a listing of advocacy agencies in our district, and we contacted them. We explained to them what the advisory committee does, and we invited them to attend our meetings and receive our information. We also determined in that conversation the best way to send the information to them. Currently, our list is 77 agencies long, and it continues to grow. We also developed a flyer to informally provide meeting announcements and invitations to the public, and the results have been that more than 30 agencies signed in for the January 2012 meeting, and there were 50 people in attendance at the March 2012 meeting. Goal number 2 is to develop a leadership consortium of advocate groups for the elderly and disabled populations in Sussex County to validate the needs and identify potential solutions. And I am going to let Sally talk to you more about goal number 2, but I do want to say that I'm very pleased and very proud of the positive changes that have taken place so far as a result of our actions to date.
Thank you.
The second packet, and I gave it a lot of information to you guys, because if you just skip to look at this, this is a presentation that was put together for the committee. Joan Diva was there. Thank you very much. It was very well attended, about 50 people. And if you look at the last in that packet, the well, mine's red, but it's a profile of the aging and physical disabilities. But if you look, take your time to look at it when we're not together, of course, but third page from the back is a chart, just to put it in perspective. It's this chart on that one. Well, if you look at this is the blue, light blue line at the bottom is Sussex County population change. The senior rate is, for Delaware, is that next blue line in the middle. Look at our Sussex senior rate and how accelerated it is. And this particular document points out to all of us, in Sussex County particularly, what we're looking for and what's going to happen in our, I think our committee become more and more relevant as the time goes by. But, I mean, even when you think about the number of people 85 and over that we're going to have in our county, It's just incredible. So this if you're doing any planning at all yourselves about seniors, this is a document, and it was prepared by Ken Bach, a chair, who's part of a volunteer on our committee. One of the things that I'm here to also ask you, and this is not just to tell you what we've been doing, but we want to take this plan and take it out to the people. We've identified in this packet 5 or 6 needs from our research. And we want to take the plan out to each of your councilmatic districts. And we have identified, in the packet you'll see another list of about how many, something like 90 agencies who want to be involved. So what I'd like to do is plan over the next, say, 3-4 months, meetings in those areas, like a little coffee clutch somewhere in your district, like similar to what we had in Milton, where we can talk to, invite the people that serve seniors and seniors to meet with us, and you specifically, and the two committee members that are from your district, and we would talk to them about these are the needs we've identified through the research, and you know, what are your views, what are your issues, and so forth, get to know them better. And the ultimate goal is we'd like to form a consortium of people that provide services to aging and do an annual conference similar to the Families in Crisis that you folks do have, or at least participate and fund. But it would be the council, our committee, who would have other agencies who would join us to put the actual conference on. And then that would be like a consortium, and then they would be able to be many, many, many agencies who would be able to bring the information to the people. Because most of the people that come, we've had 30, 40, 50 people coming in the last year to hear the speaker and talk about issues, but there's no coordination of that effort. So we'd like to do that. And so I'm hoping that you will participate with us. This will give you a chance to get to know who you've appointed or who is appointed in your district. I'm at Advances, and Anna's at Mr. Vincent's. And there's a whole list of who else we have. So I don't know if this is the right venue to talk to you about getting to do that, or should I follow up with you?
Just follow up with myself, okay. And Mr. Lawson will set, yeah.
Yeah, I had planned to do a little more, but I was told that it might be very helpful if I kept it under 15 minutes. You might be more inclined.
Yeah, our attention span sometimes loses out of you. Right?
Anybody?
Yeah, what's your definition of elderly? I'm going to be very careful now.
now that I'm 66... we've been focusing on 62 and over.
62?
Yeah, that's what I'm finding people are doing. And, you know, people that are coming in, they don't want nursing homes. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Nursing homes. They want to age in place. They want to stay home.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to us to figure out how we're going to do it more and more. But so I would say we won't turn people under 62 away, but we do. It seems that that's the population that comes to our meetings and we just have to ask. Also, we want to make sure you understand we have this committee. If there's anything you need if you get questions from your constituents about aging issues, if you go into your website and find our names and you click on our names, you'll get our phone numbers. Tell them to call Sally Beaumont, not every district, but in your district, and you can have them. And then usually what we do is we pool our resources. We email each other. So and so has this problem. We try to get it solved.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If you also like to be a resource in case you have somebody who's asking you to help them, and maybe you need something, to another pair of eyes that's out in the community to help you to decide on something or whatever. We want you to use us.
Helps.
Would you imagine cooperating with, say, CHEER and Arlene Littleton?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, people come to me all the time as the CHEER and say, how can I get on the committee? Now, people can come and we have, like, people volunteer to help us. I mean, we had 4 or 5 people who have volunteered to help us put this plan together. But the only way you can get on that committee is if one of you appoint them. And the turnover is very low, and I'm sure when Vance came to see me, wanted to be on, he said to me, you know, you have to understand that there's a lot of people on that committee that have been there a long time, and we want you to try to help to facilitate some things. And sure. Now the time is here. I mean, mm-hmm. the people are here, the boomers are here, we're here to stay, and we have a lot of challenges ahead of us. So we want you to know that.
I have one more thing. I think you're doing a great job from having attended that meeting. I think with our population changes, we should take a look at separating the two, the disability issue and the serving the elderly. That's going to really grow.
Yeah.
This list of, we have a list of boards, commissions, and committee. Now, is that made public? Who's on these? Because that's something I've always wanted to know.
Yeah.
I think people would be very interested in that. And
that's on the website.
Okay,
and
fine.
As I said, all our names and addresses,
fine.
Phone numbers, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to serve we're supposed to be your eyes and ears in your districts on that. Those particular.
Exactly. And are the appointees accessible? Are their telephones numbers published? Are they getting feedback
telephones
from the
telephones are in there. Mm-hmm. Some, okay. Most have emails, but what happens is if I get a lot of them because I'm first. Beef of Beaumont, and Mom, I have the chair.
Sure.
And we had a presentation by a young lady who had been in the Air Force and was had been disabled in service. And she was talking about access in Sussex County. I think that's a big issue from what I heard from her. She was trying to access the ferry, and she was in her wheelchair and fell backwards and broke a wrist. And since then, she's actually gotten those folks to change the ramp and redesign their parking places a little bit, just drawing different lines. It's a big issue here in the county.
And it's for and any mostly, in fact, in Delaware, when you're 85, you automatically can get one of those placards for your car because there's such a high rate of people with disabilities in the 85 and over. So it's going to be more and more and more of a problem. And when you have some time, I know you have a lot to read, but that Ken Bach's presentation was, you were there. I think it just puts it right in a nutshell. Any other questions?
Thank you for your report.
Okay.
Thank you for the
Thank
work
you
all are doing. Thank you very much. And get back with Mr. Lawson and myself. We'll work on some dates and stuff.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you. First item of business under County Administrator is recognizing the employee of the quarter, Michelle Warren. Michelle Warren of the Utility Planning Department was employed in 1994 with the Accounting Department. She was promoted in 2008 as a Senior Engineering Accountant, following year transfer to the Engineering Department in Utility Planning Division. Michelle has worked extensively with assisting the county engineer, director of public works, the county administrator, and other parties in keeping track of all letters of credit and bonds for private roads and sewer systems in communities that are being developed and under construction. Michelle has been instrumental in a number of sewer projects, including but not limited to the Angola Neck and Oak Orchard sewer districts. Both of these projects were complex and on strict time schedules and included federal stimulus funding. Michelle is a tremendous help, assisting with monthly progress meetings with the county attorneys, where she was accountable for the bond issues as well as different easement documents. She is always prepared for any question the county engineer or the attorneys have. This kind of expertise and work ethic demonstrates that with Michelle, it's always a job well done. Mm-hmm. Michelle was nominated by Department Head Mike Izzo, Jeff James, and Tom Ferrett of the department. Congratulations, Michelle, on your Employee of the Quarter recognition. I think I have a...
Thank you for all you do. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Second item is a proclamation recognizing April as Child Abuse Prevention Month in Sussex County. I'd like to read that proclamation. Whereas child abuse and neglect is a complex and ongoing problem in our society affecting thousands of children and their families in the state of Delaware, every child is precious and deserves to grow up in a healthy, safe, and nurturing environment free from the threats, dangers, and harmful effects of child abuse and neglect. Child abuse and neglect impacts our entire society and can cause traumatic psychological, emotional, and physical harm, which can lead to poor outcomes, including detrimental behaviors, mental and physical illness for children and adults. Everyone in the community should be aware of child abuse prevention to ensure that all children have the ability to live free from abuse and neglect. Effective child abuse prevention programs succeed because of partnerships created among social service agencies, schools, religious and civic organizations, law enforcement agencies, and the business community. Delaware has many dedicated individuals and organizations who work relentlessly to counter the problems associated with the child abuse and provide the needed support for families to raise their children in safe and nurturing environments. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council does hereby proclaim the month of April 2012 to be the Child Abuse Prevention Month in Sussex County, and encourages the community to observe this month with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President, dated April 3rd, 2012. And I believe we have a representative from Child Abuse Prevention, Mrs. Argo? Argo, excuse me. Thank you.
Thank you very much on behalf of the council.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next item is the Building and House Code Appeal Board appointment. As you know, the Sussex County Building and Housing Code Appeal Board meets to consider appeals that are the result of an inspection complaint. Appointments to the board are made by the council and run for a term of 4 years. Today, we could consider Councilman Phillips' appointment of Mr. Bradley Layfield and Councilman Wilson's appointment of Mr. Kevin Pritchett, who should be appointed for a term of 4 years, and I have a motion for your consideration.
Certainly.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Mr. Bradley Layfield and Mr. Kevin Pritchett to the Sussex County Building and Housing Code Appeal Board effective April 3rd, 2012 for a term of 4 years.
So
moved. Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. And last, Administrator's Report. Item number one, Easter holiday. County offices will be closed on April 6th in honor of Good Friday. Offices will reopen Monday, April 9th at 8:30. The County Council will not meet next week, April 10th, 2012. And we'll meet the following week, April 17th, 2012. And second item, Delaware State Police Activity Report for February 2012. Per the attached State Police Activity Report for February, there were a total of 4,305 total traffic arrests and 1,069 criminal arrests. Of those arrests, 233 were felony and 836 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Of the total hours spent on duty, 41% were spent on criminal investigations. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Hal Godwin, legislative update.
Mr. President, members of council, as you know, the Delaware General Assembly has been in session for some 3 weeks now. They'll be in session today, tomorrow, and Thursday, and then break for 2 weeks. Recently, I have been monitoring their action, and I have some bills I want to review with you and discuss. The first bill is Senate Bill 167. This bill is introduced by Senator Karen Peterson, and I've spoken with Senator Peterson since its introduction on the 15th of March, and it appears that she will be either amending this bill or rewriting it completely because it caused me a number of concerns as well as the other two counties. This bill would essentially increase the opportunity to challenge a municipal or county land use ordinance from 60 days to indefinitely. And we all know that that could cause a problem because if a land use ordinance is not considered to be finished business at any point in its future, it really does minimize the effect and the authority of those local governments in controlling their own land use. So this bill is probably not going to move at all in its current condition. I have not seen a new bill or an amendment yet, but I have spoken with Senator Peterson, and she has promised that this bill in its current verbiage will not be moved forward.
I'd like to talk to her and find out what her reasoning is behind that.
Her reasoning is that the current wording of the bill really doesn't achieve what she was trying to do.
I'd like to know what that is.
Yeah, her as the ambition that she explained to me was that particularly on properties that are being redeveloped, where the property has been developed for purpose A, and then it's going to be redeveloped for another purpose, some of those redevelopments, at least in New Castle County, do not require reviews by other agencies such as DLDOT and the Fire Marshal and those types of reviews. And she wanted that to be included in their redevelopment. And that's really what she was aiming at, not necessarily an ordinance that would simply be that of developing a property. As all of our land use decisions are made in ordinance. And I'm sure that you understand how difficult it would be to, it would be difficult to finance a project if the bank could not have the surety that the land use decision was final at some point. So that's why this bill is really not hitting the target.
No, I don't think it is either. No.
Okay.
I was thinking, excuse me, didn't we do 45 days here at P&Z? Isn't there a number of 45?
That's between P&Z and council, I think.
I'm just wondering, what are we 60 days on a change zone or?
If it's a board of adjustment case or the 30-day appeal.
30-day
appeal. And it goes to a specific court of common pleas.
Boy, that's short.
If it's a zoning change or a conditional use or a subdivision, or a conditional use.
Right.
It goes to Chancery Court and a 60-day appeal.
It goes 6 days, so, okay.
60 days after it's published or after the decision?
After it's advertised.
After the decision is advertised.
Yeah, we've done it under the ordinance.
Because
there'd be a decision, it may be several weeks before the ordinance is actually advertised, where the ordinance is, it's based on the 60 days after the ordinance is signed. Or created, numbered, whichever. It varies. And the Board of Adjustment is 30 days from the signature of the chairman of the board on the finding of facts. Because sometimes there'd be a month or so lag time, and then there's 30-day appeal.
Well, how would anybody know when that is?
They have to, well, the only way they would know is they have to contact us to verify.
And zoning.
So the appeal process there could be the applicant or it could be the opponents in both cases. On a subdivision, we use the same appeal time as the board. It's a 30-day appeal.
30 days on subdivision.
And that's based on advertising.
So that's okay with the current state law of 60 days?
But the current state law is 60 for the change of zones and conditional uses, and 30 for subdivisions and
Board of Adjustment.
The 45 days is motion. Commission has to make a recommendation within 45 days, unless they can show just cause as to why it's taking longer.
But the subdivision decisions require, if you want to appeal one of those, it's 30 days from the day that the decision was published in the newspaper, is what you're saying?
That's public notice.
Public notice?
That it's been approved.
Or denied, whichever.
Right.
The decision has been rendered.
So it's different than.
Got to wait to the. Yeah, it's from the decision, when the decision has been, but not from the advertising that we're going to have a public hearing.
No, we do. Well, we do the advertising date on the subdivisions.
Yes. Right. What
on
date
the Board
do you
of Adjustment,
at?
It's the signature of the chair of the board.
Right, it's different.
Because the decision may have been rendered a month or so before the findings of the fact were prepared by the attorney and then printed and forwarded. And the board has to go back to the board for approval of those findings. So that's instantaneous after that. So it doesn't go back to the board in public session. And we just changed that in the last 2 months, probably.
Okay.
So it's more clear that the board.
All right. Yeah, that's all. I just trying to clear that up. I was confused.
If this bill would propose to lift all those limits, which would mean that you could file suit 5 years after it was finished.
Okay.
The next bill that I wanted to point out is House Bill 152. This bill was introduced last year and tabled in the committee. This is the bill that addresses our assessors and their training. This bill now, since this past October, is really a moot point. We will probably be striking this bill later in the session once we get the new legislation, which I gave you a copy of it, introduced and get it moving along through the process. I gave you a copy of the draft legislation that has yet to be introduced. This legislation was drafted with the approval of our legal counsel, Mr. Moore, and both other counties, Kent and Newcastle, are on board with the drafting of the verbiage in this bill. The current bill would try to recant the decision that was made in October of 2011 by the Council of Real Estate Appraisers. And I've explained this to you before, and you've given me the authority to move forward, so that's why I've continued to move on this bill. The same theory is contained in the legislation that we're proposing currently, which would be to allow Sussex County, Kent County, and Newcastle County to continue using their own uniform paradigm for assessing real estate and not have to use the new standards that have been adopted. And by the way, as of last Thursday, we had a number of sponsors on this legislation from all three counties. So this legislation is becoming more popular the harder I work with it. I do expect it to get introduced Thursday of this week. Next bill I want to discuss with you is House Bill 274. This bill is a relatively new bill related to the licensing of dogs. This bill would allow a dog license to be renewed any time of the year. Currently, dog licenses must be renewed by March 31st. But if you can have the dog license all through the year, that opens up the opportunity, for particularly for our office operation, to have people coming in for dog licenses all through the year. And it also allows your dog license to expire on time with the vaccination. Whereas before, the vaccinations, if the vaccination was done in August and your license had to be renewed by March, you weren't getting a full year's benefit of that vaccination from rabies. So this bill, I thought, and I believe you had advised me also, you thought that it was favorable because it allows us flexibility and doesn't increase our cost. This bill, however, has caused a new discussion, primarily in Newcastle County and in Kent County as well, and I wanted to explain that to you. The discussion that's come up from this bill now has been to perhaps allow the veterinarians who perform the rabies inoculation to also issue the license, since the license is really just a system monitoring whether or not the dog has been vaccinated. Why not have the performer of the vaccination also sell the license right there on the spot? So this would relieve us somewhat from our costs, part of our costs in the dog licensing services. So I have not seen a new bill yet. The current bill 274 was voted out of committee last week, so it's ready to go on the House floor, but I suspect that it's going to be amended or rewritten to possibly consider the option of giving the veterinarian the responsibility of issuing the license rather than the counties. That's where that one stands. House Bill 278 is the next one I have on my list. This bill would allow school taxes and property taxes to be collected by tax interceptor. This concept was brought to us by one of our favorite state representatives who recommended we use this or petition a bill to use this system, which will help us collect school taxes that are delinquent and also property taxes that are delinquent. House Bill 278 was introduced 2 weeks ago, and was scheduled for a committee hearing tomorrow, of which I will be there to speak in favor of this bill.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Who is one of our favorite representatives?
This particular bill has sponsors. I'll read them to you.
You say brought to us by one of our favorite representatives.
Yeah, Representative Dan Short, in discussions over the past fall, as we were discussing with him possibilities on how to collect delinquent taxes.
I didn't know we had a favorite.
Well, I'm just using that off the cuff.
They're all our favorite. Somebody else.
All 62 of them are our favorite.
I think your term was actually one of our.
One of our favorites.
Well, they're
one
all
of our
favorites.
One of our 62 favorites.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. But it does have wide support. But the idea was brought to us by Dan. House Bill 281, this bill makes Delaware law consistent in Sussex County and Kent counties by giving Sussex County government the same discretion as Kent County to set its own capitation tax amount. Our capitation tax currently by state code is not allowed to be more than $10 per person per year and not less than $3 per person per year. This bill, House Bill 281, would remove the $3 minimum, which would allow you the flexibility to make the minimum anything you chose.
Even zero?
Even zero.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That bill also was assigned to the House Community Affairs Committee, which will meet tomorrow, and I intend on testifying at that hearing as well in support of this bill. Next bill is House Bill 283. This bill makes Delaware law consistent between us and Kent County in personnel rules being administered administratively. Currently, there are a number of issues that our HR department need to deal with, such as Family Medical Leave Act, and a number of things that we need to update in our system as far as policy and how we manage our employees. And currently, in order to do that, all of those considerations need to go before the Personnel Review Board. This bill would allow us to handle this internally, administratively, rather than needing to go through the lengthy process that the Personnel Review Board requires. This bill also was introduced in the House, and it's been assigned to the same committee that meets tomorrow, which I will testify for. This bill was one that also you had asked we have introduced. Just to touch on Senate Bill 156, which there's a substitute bill for the next item on your list. This is the dog tethering law that really never got reviewed properly last year in committee. However, it's been assigned in the Senate to the Senate Judiciary Committee, chaired by Senator Blevins, and she and I have discussed this bill. She knows we have a number of concerns with this bill, and she had promised me that she would not have a committee hearing without making sure I knew about it. It was going to be scheduled for January of 2012. Well, it didn't happen. The committee hearing was canceled. I've checked with her as recent as last week about this bill, and she is not very optimistic about this bill's future. So we are opposing it. I think the other two counties were also opposing it, and that's probably why it hasn't been scheduled for a hearing. And I'm expecting this bill either to be drastically changed or stricken, but I do not expect it to move in its current form.
Oh, good. There you are. No tether.
Okay. House Bill 290, we refer to as our sheriff's bill, was introduced on March 22nd of this year, briefly discussed in committee on March 28th and tabled. It has had one amendment offered. I did not have the amendment soon enough to include in your package, so I will just explain it to you. It's a very brief amendment that would be added to line 18 of House Bill 290. I'll explain that to you. On House Bill 290, on the first page, very near the bottom of your first page, is the title says Section 2. The line above Section 2 is the one that would be amended. And that line would simply, and this was brought by, this suggestion, I believe, was brought forward by the sponsor. It says, unless specifically so ordered by a judge of superior court. The purpose here is to allow judges to order a sheriff in either of the three counties to bring someone into the court for a hearing or take them to a medical facility. The synopsis of the amendment reads as follows. The sheriff or their deputies occasionally are ordered by a superior court to take a person into civil commitment for noncompliance with an order or to transport an individual to the state hospital or other medical facility. This amendment will allow such duties to continue upon a specific order from the court. So that's why this amendment has been offered.
Do we do that? I thought the state police did that.
Well, they haven't done much of that recently.
Yeah, this transporting to the medical facility
right. Or
to bring them to the court is something that apparently in Newcastle County asked to do on occasion.
Right.
So they wanted to make sure that this new law, if it were to be adopted, did not alter that.
Okay.
Okay, so that's why this amendment was offered.
Wasn't there one time they were supposedly maybe possibly transporting prisoners? Wasn't there some of that going on? I don't think we ever did
I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm. Or something.
But the House Bill 290 has been tabled, and that amendment has been added to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senate Bill 149 is a very long, complicated bill dealing with the environment. This bill was introduced back at the tail end of the session last June, and it has been assigned to the Senate Natural Resources and Environmental Committee. This bill has raised a lot of concern in the agricultural community. All three counties and most of the towns have concern about this because it's relating to endangered species and how those endangered species would be considered in development processes. A very complicated bill. I would ask you to read it carefully. I don't believe the bill has a lot of support. It has not been scheduled for a hearing as yet. I'm keeping a very close eye on it so I can report back to you if it's scheduled for hearing, but I would like to get some direction from you between now and the hearing. So what I'd ask you to do is read the bill very carefully over the next week, and then next Tuesday, or we won't be here next Tuesday, the following week, perhaps you could explain to me what your position is. I have not yet taken a position for you on that bill.
How would it affect farming?
Well,
not really.
I think as you read the bill, you'll see that it gives a considerable amount of authority to the Secretary of DENREC.
Yes.
In making decisions about statutory authority and designating threatened and endangered species. To me, it just seems very complicated. And I would like you to read it individually and give me your advice.
Give you a little example, Joan. Mm-hmm. At one time, they were talking about if a bald eagle had a nest 600 mm-hmm. feet, mm-hmm. anywhere you was farming, you could not farm.
Okay, so that'd be part of that bill?
So I actually got a woods that's closer than 600 feet to mm-hmm. my house. If they nest out there, I guess I'd have to go out the residence probably. Mm-hmm. And if some endangered frog got on the ground, I wouldn't probably be able to plow it. There's a lot of crazy things here that's going on to this organization.
I'll take a look at it. Yeah.
But nothing's happening on us. There's no sense maybe focusing too much now.
I would like to know what you think, because if it starts to move and I can't get back to you quickly.
It may not look like this when they get done playing with it.
Well, that's
right?
True. That's so true. And Senator McDowell is the primary sponsor, and he is very environmentally conscious and aware and seems to have ability to move bills when he needs to. So I would want to be prepared with your opinion should that happen. And I can't get back to you immediately. I'd like to know what you think of the bill.
Well, did Senator McBride have any interest, or is he signing on too?
I've spoken with Senator McBride, and we did not discuss that bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's one of the things I plan to do today when I go to Legislative Hall, is to find out how others feel about the bill, particularly in that chamber.
Okay, thanks.
Joan, to give you a little example, when they was doing the dual highway up here from Georgetown to Milford,
mm-hmm.
up in Aldale, they had to stop in Aldale. We used to call it Aldale Swamp, because they found a couple of frogs in there that looked like endangered. They stopped that for years, and then had to come down here outside of Georgetown, dig up a 100-acre farm, and try to make it like a wetlands to change over so they could
mitigate.
So they could sort of trade off. So this is the kind of ridiculous.
But we don't know if that bill is addressing what you're talking about. You're just giving examples, right?
It's in the same direction. It's in the sort of
I understand, but you're just, that bill doesn't do anything with this, but those are examples. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like you to read that carefully. I have one more issue to discuss.
Yes,
sir. Our director of assessment, Mr. Eddie Parker, has brought to my attention that every March, our Board of Assessment Review sits for at least 15 days to hear possible requests from the public about our assessment roles. He has asked me to discuss with you the possibility of legislation that might alter that requirement of 15 days to an as-needed condition, because there have been very few times that this board has had to serve the public and meet. So why are we requiring them to meet for 15 days every year when, in fact, they're never asked to opine on the assessment roles? I think Mr. Parker's here. If you'd like to hear from him, I'd like to know whether or not you would care for me to address this issue through state legislation or not.
Do we even need
Parker, would you come up here, please, just give us an idea on how much...
What's going on?
Oh, nobody's
people
protesting.
People spend out 15 days of
nobody's
actually,
protesting.
Correct.
Well, the current state statutes require that they sit for 15 days in March of each year to hear appeals. This year is not unlike a lot of previous years. We had no appeals. The engineering department had no appeals on sewer districts. They sat for 15 days, used a conference room, which is a valuable space in this building, and it
actually sat
for 15 days per the state code. And I just think that's a waste of resources.
Torture.
And
how long do they have to convene?
Unless you're Sam Wilson, he could do it.
They convene each day to meet the letter of the law.
For how long?
I've taken it upon myself to let them leave around lunchtime, because it just...
When did they convene?
They come in about 8:30, 9 o'clock every morning.
So for 3 hours they hang out?
Sit, read the newspaper, chit-chat.
How much are they paid?
$75 a day.
How many of them are there?
Five.
One per district.
$5.
They share my views. They realize that this is really
absurd. It's like $5,000. That's not $5,000.
So your suggestion, I guess, Mr. Parker, is that we would change the state code, or ask state code to be changed, to allow them to meet when there's a need to meet?
To meet in March of each year to hear cases as they're needed.
Right.
Makes sense.
So if they're needed for 2 days, they meet for 2 days?
And there's nobody appeals and there's no need to meet?
That's correct.
Do they have to be on call, but not necessarily come in for no
reason? They fully understand that.
It's $75 a day. It doesn't sound like they're in this for the money anyway.
No.
No.
That's $375 a day.
But it is a very important service that they provide to us, and could be very important if we have major taxpayers decide to file an appeal. And we've had some inquiries in the past couple of years from some major taxpayers concerning...
What do you mean, major taxpayers?
Some of those that pay a considerable amount of money in taxes to this county.
Have a lot of property.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or commercial,
so
which one
their, you their importance is there, but on an ad-needed basis.
Sure. Why don't you, Mr. Lawson, why don't you draft a bill, and then we'll circulate that to council and get their feedback.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Mr. Parker will work with you on that and come up with something, we'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Sam will be reducing bureaucracy.
Thank you very much.
If you have no questions, that's the end of my report, sir.
We're good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Cooper.
It's not about the money.
Didn't mean to share you there, but